This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. It may not be the biggest event on your weekend calendar, but for fans of mixed martial arts, tomorrow there is a huge event in Las Vegas.
UFC World Heavyweight Champion Randy Couture faces Gabriel Gonzaga for the UFC Heavyweight Crown.
It's UFC 74 Respect, which is to say, it's the 74th fight night organized by the UFC, which stands for Ultimate Fighting Championship. The respect part is pure hype. The UFC, and more generally mixed martial arts, have become big business with a large and growing fan base.
Saturday, August 25th, from the Mandalay Bay Event Center in Las Vegas. Only on pay-per-view.
This is a kind of fighting in which anything that's legal in jiu-jitsu or taekwondo or wrestling or boxing is fair game. Punching, grappling, kicking, choking. In this segment of the program, we'll take a look at this booming sport that's beating out prize fighting for audiences and worrying a lot of people who say that it's just too brutal. We asked reporter Tamara Keith of member station KQED to go to last month's UFC fight in Sacramento. Tamara, tell us what you saw.
Well, it was loud in Arco Arena. Down center stage, there was the famous UFC octagon. It's about 6 feet tall with padding all along the top. That's the ring. You know, I've been to concerts, basketball games, a monster truck rally in this arena. This event had a different feel. There was just a lot more anticipation. You know there's going to be a fight, but you don't know how it's going to go down, I guess.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live from the Apple Arena in Sacramento, California, for UFC 73.
And what did the bouts actually look like, Tamara?
Well, I don't know a lot about fighting, but I know that there were a lot of different styles. One minute they're boxing, and then somebody kicks the other guy in the neck. Then they'll be rolling around on the ground, wrestling. There are a bunch of different holds, like a triangle hold, a guillotine, the rear naked choke. But either way, it either ends with a guy passing out or tapping out, which is basically like, hey, I can't take it anymore.
Well, that's what's happening inside the octagon. Describe for us a little bit about the people watching this outside the octagon.
Well, they are very much into the fights. During the lightweight title fight, I sat with John Storch and his friend Mark. John actually flew in from Seattle for this fight. And as it's going on, they're totally into it. And the defending champion, Sean Sherk, lands a few good hits into Hermes Franca's face, and Franca starts bleeding. Then they get into one of these wrestling positions, and Franca is leaning over Shirk's back, dripping blood all over Shirk. So I looked over at John and Mark, and it's like they didn't even notice it. Another thing I found pretty amazing about this crowd is that they weren't content with boxing. But, you know, a high kick or a takedown, and everyone goes crazy. Chris Marlini, he came to watch with a few of his friends. He's 18, and he's studying Brazilian jiu-jitsu, which is one of the fighting techniques involved with ultimate fighting.
It's truly a sport. Two athletes, I like to call them gladiators, get in the octagon. They come in at peak physical condition, and they beat the hell out of each other.
I think he's like a lot of fans of the sport. They like that it's decisive.
And it turns out a lot of people like this sport. A lot of people bought tickets to the card that you witnessed.
Absolutely. There were more than 14,000 people at this fight. They brought in $1.5 million. Some people paid $500 for their tickets. The UFC won't release their pay-per-view numbers for this event, but last year, according to Sports Illustrated, they brought in $223 million in pay-per-view broadcasts.
Well, Tamara, what did the fighters get out of all of this?
Well, the big headline fighter, Tito Ortiz, he got a big gash in his face and a rematch. His fight with Rashad Evans ended in a draw. And just to give you an idea of the pay range, Ortiz earned $200,000 for that fight, but Evans got just $16,000. One of the other fighters, George Gergel, he won, but he ended up in the hospital with a broken jaw and a paycheck of $14,000. And both of the lightweights, Sean Sherk and Hermes Franca, they both tested positive for steroids. Franca owned up to the doping, and so the California Athletic Commission has suspended him for a year. And Sherk, who won the bout, he's appealing.
So we made a lifelong fan of mixed martial arts out of you?
Maybe. Or maybe not. I don't think I can admit this on public radio either way.
It's reporter Tamara Keith of member station KQED, who went to UFC 73 in Sacramento. There's some video at npr.org. Mixed martial arts has its detractors, like Stephen Acunto. He was a longtime member of the New York State Athletic Commission. All his life, he has loved, taught, and coached boxing. Mixed martial arts may be drawing bigger audiences now, but unlike boxing, Acunto says, it is not a sport.
It attracts more people because I think it satiates the barbaric pleasure of people who like to see someone hurt. I think they would watch cockfighting, bullfighting, dogfighting, and anything of that nature.
Can you imagine such a league, keeping the general idea of how these guys are fighting, but having enough rules and having doctors in attendance and having organized scoring so that it would satisfy, would meet your definition of a sport, even though it would be quite different from boxing?
It's quite different. It takes place in a cage where your animals go in chain-link fence cages. When they attempt to cloak the sport with rules and regulations, that is to try to get the governor or the state legislators would approve it.
The rules that Stephen Acunto is talking about have been adopted in recent years, and they have served to get mixed martial arts widely sanctioned. In the early 90s, when the UFC was just getting started, it was virtually anything goes. No eye gouging or fish hooking. Now, more rules. No headbutting or hair pulling, for instance. And gloves. Dana White is president of the UFC.
Back then, Senator John McCain was saying this thing needs to be regulated by an athletic commission.
He called it human cockfighting.
Exactly. And the old owner said, nobody's going to tell me how to run my business. I'll go to places where there is no sanctioning. When we bought the company, we felt these guys are athletes. This is a sport, and this does need to be sanctioned. So we ran toward the regulation, not away from it. And at the end of the day, there are more people who would rather watch a sport than watch a spectacle.
I've watched a video online of a bout, which ends with one fighter delivering, I think, 8 or 9 consecutive blows in the face to his opponent, who's down on his back at that moment. I mean, there's something about it that doesn't say, just a game. There's something about it that says, come here for blood and for brutality.
Well, that's how some people see it. The reality is, the reason you think that way is because we grew up with, you know, the John Wayne culture. Never hit a man when he's down. You know, in the old John Wayne movies, he'd knock a guy down, and instead of jumping on him and hitting him, he'd stand him back up and punch him again.
Yeah.
You know, that's the society we come from. Most of these other countries out there, martial arts has been a part of their culture forever. And the reality is, you hit a man standing up with a lot more force than you can when the man is on the ground. We could sit here all day and debate on how safe this is or how unsafe that is. There really aren't very many sports out there that there aren't any deaths in. And there's never been a death in the UFC. Polo can't say that there's never been a death. You'd be surprised to hear how many kids die every year playing high school football.
Drug testing. Is there a drug problem in mixed martial arts?
No, I wouldn't say that there's a drug problem in mixed martial arts. Anytime that your product, I guess I'll call it, is a human being, you're going to have issues. Guys are going to have issues with alcohol, family problems, drugs, unfortunately, you know.
Steroids. Is there a problem with steroids?
There's not a problem with steroids. Have we had guys who've tested positive for steroids? Absolutely. But I'd say for the amount of fights that we have and the amount of athletes we have under contract, it hasn't been very bad. You know, our guys are pretty good about that.
Dana White's UFC has cleaned up enough for Senator John McCain to soften his criticism.
They have cleaned up the sport, at least to my view, that it's not human cockfighting anymore. I think they've made significant progress. They haven't made me a fan, but they have made progress.
But Dana White has plenty of other fans.
We're not only the largest pay-per-view provider in the United States, beating HBO Boxing and the WWE, but we're also one of the highest-rated television shows on cable.
He's a big man at 6'1", but weighs 261 pounds. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Brian Vittel.
Dozens of smaller organizations now mimic the UFC. The International Fight League consists of 12 mixed martial arts teams.
And Vittel's got 47 pounds on him. He's tapped out. Mo Fosse taps out. And Brian Vittel gets the victory for the Pit Bulls.
Brian Vittel is the heavyweight for the New York Pit Bulls.
We get a lot of freaks, a lot of weird people. If you like to fight, if you like getting punched in the face all day, maybe you're not the most normal person on earth.
You would count yourself in that category, right?
Probably, yeah. I mean, seriously, you know, you're waking up every day, you're going into the gym, you know, 3 times a day, and you think it's great.
You were a philosophy major at Hofstra University, I gather.
Yes.
So this is the examined life that you're leading.
Maybe, you know, I'm trying to live something that's interesting.
Are you concerned a bit that someday you could really get yourself hurt?
No.
No.
if that's what you're worried about, then you shouldn't fight. You're with a referee whose main job it is to protect your health. You have good corner men, good coaches. I mean, any accident could happen, but, you know, I could step in the street and get hit by a car tomorrow. I live in New York. It's not unheard of.
But many people are concerned about safety as states debate whether and how to regulate mixed martial arts. Dr. Joseph Estwanek is an orthopedic surgeon who helped the sport get legalized in North Carolina. He helped develop the glove that brought the Ultimate Fighting Championship out of the bare knuckle era. He says very, very few fights end with a knockout punch. And a knockout punch is much more harmful than an ugly laceration.
There are many, many ways to win in the martial arts other than by an obvious concussion. And the things that we see as far as more blood is really problems that are occurring outside the skull, as compared to boxing, where we have these cumulative blows that are occurring inside the skull.
So you're saying it may look unpleasant, but indeed blood streaming from the face of a fighter is a lot less serious than what might be the neater concussion that knocks out a boxer.
Yes, sir. It's more graphic, but it's treatable, fixable, and temporary.
Dr. Robert Cantu takes a more measured view. He's co-director of the Neurological Sports Injury Center at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, and he says we haven't seen enough study of mixed martial arts to accurately describe the risks.
There really is kind of an on-site medical team that makes some quick assessments, but the athletes really aren't studied in great degree most of the time.
If you had your druthers, would you license, more carefully supervise, or outlaw mixed martial arts, or boxing for that matter?
Well, if I had my druthers, I'd, number one, very carefully license it and very carefully follow the injury patterns. I think it's very important that that data be obtained. I think if you were to outlaw it, just like if you were to outlaw boxing, it would still go on. It would just be without supervision.
And Fatale is an angry man at Fosse, even though he won the fight. I don't know what happened in the clinch there.
IFL fighter Brian Vatale defends his sport, but he balks at the notion that I put to him of making mixed martial arts a high school sport.
Hey, I don't know if I have the maturity to handle what I'm doing right now. So I don't know if a 15-year-old should be doing it.
But they wrestle and they
box.
They play football for sure. Those are all dangerous activities.
They are, but the idea of what you're doing is, I mean, you're beating somebody up. You know, that's what you're doing. I mean, I think the kids should train it, but I don't know if there should be a competitive aspect to doing that. I just don't think so.
Brian Vatale's college education isn't all that remarkable in mixed martial arts. The boxing gym may be a ticket out of the ghetto or the barrio, but the college wrestling team and the strip mall Taekwondo Academy, the places where a lot of these fighters come from, are straight out of middle-class America. And so, it seems, is mixed martial arts. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.